Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
God bless you, Blood River Radio audience. Thank you so much for holding on. I was kind of late getting the draw right there. Can get him back. But we have Paul Fromm on. We have Jason Robb. And then after this next segment, we're going to have Gene, the Bitter Ender, Andrews on. And we have my big sister, Nancy Hitt, coming back on. They're going to take over. We got kind of crowd tonight because you've probably heard me say we had Alfred Schaefer coming in. It was really unexpected. And he was told us about, just in case you're tuning in, he told us about the demonstrations that the German people had over in Germany, in Dresden, Germany, to protest that horrible firebombing, incendiary bombing they had in February of 1945. And the Antifa attacked the protesters. Alfred Schaefer was arrested. We went over all that the first and second hour. We've had Paul and Jason Robbone talking about all that, and also the cult of clergy, the planned replacement of the European people, and they're going to Paul and Jason are going to finish up talking about that for this segment. In the next segment, we're going to bring the Bitter Ender on and my big sister Nancy Hitt, and they're going to close out the show with the last three segments. So go ahead, Paul. I think Jason had made a lot of comments. Would you like? Do you remember what he was talking about before we went to the last break, Paul? Go ahead, Paul. Take away
the importance of overcoming guilt. That's that is the weakness of our people, that they can be controlled and manipulated by guilt. And I'm not saying to be immoral and nothing matters, but our enemies have learned that we're very susceptible to guilt, and we have to overcome it, and we have to overcome it by strengthening goodness and value of our people. I mean, our rotten education system and media have sold people a bill of complete goods and distortion, totally downplaying the tremendous defect of our people. 95% of all the patents ever issued, granted, were granted to European people. That's Europeans or Americans, Canadians, Australians, New Zealanders. There are other races that are quite intelligent, like the Japanese and to some extent Chinese. But we are the great achievers. And the more we dig into ancient history, the more we find out, for instance, the Egyptians up until fairly near the end were white. The paintings of ancient Egyptians had red hair and blue eyes. Our people were there. The blacks didn't build the pyramids. Some of the black history that's troubled out these days would have you believe they did. But then our people were builders and geniuses.
And I think, you know, with that being said, I think, you know, if we continue to talk about the achievements of our people, you know, and how beautiful our people are in their culture and history, that can help instill, you know, love of who they are. Now I do want to kind of go back, you know, Paul. I have in front of me, I have, you know, the book that you wrote, The Cult of Clergy, The Planned Replacement of the European People. The Canadian Issues series. Can you kind of briefly talked about it just about a minute or two, but can you go a little bit more into it's a small little booklet, and it's from, I guess, a series of a talking tour that you had, but this one was specifically in Tokyo, I guess, December of 2019. And can you kind of talk a little bit more about the booklet and what this cult of Calergy plan is. I mean, we talk about it, but you know, people that are just listening, I mean, what is it? They hear about it, but what is it really, what it comes down to is the design of it.
Well, what Calergy envisioned, and he wrote this in his book, Crack Idealism, in 1922, was that Europe, which would no longer have nationalities, there'd be no more Frenchmen, no more Italians, no more Brits, no more Germans, they'd all be one big mix. And there would be a new European man, and this man would be a mixed race person, like Clarke. His mother was Japanese, his father was Austro-Hungarian. So this would be a mixed race of blacks and Asiatics, and there would be a moral elite or ruling class who'd be Jewish. Now that was his grand plan, but he got very significant back financial backing from the Rothschilds and various other Jewish bankers. And a very famous man at the time, Adolf Hitler, denounced him backwards and forwards as a madman and reprobate. He was also very closely tied to the Freemasons. He was in the Viennese Masonic. His ideas became quite influential among influential people. Now, he wasn't preaching to the masses. He interacted with aristocrats and government bureaucrats and so on. And gradually, these ideas percolated, and World War II came along. Then after the Second World War, he kind of softened, big short-term goal, sort of more of European unification to cut down trade barriers and tariffs and things like that. And that made sense up to a point. And so a lot of people got sucked into that. But the underlying agenda was to basically get rid of the nationalities of Europe by replacing them. And that, of course, is what's now happening on the installment plan in immigration policies in Europe, but also in Canada and the United States. Your father has often pointed out that you could not be a citizen of the original 13 colonies or states if it was exclusive to white men of good character. It wasn't come one, come all. You've been sold a nonsense about, you know, give us, you're poor, you're tired, etc. Canada was overwhelmingly a white country. We didn't have a black problem. In fact, the man to this day on the back of the $100 Canadian bill is Sir Robert Borden. He was the prime minister during the First World War. He, in the election of 1917, he said, Canada is a white man's country. And that wasn't controversial. People on the left, people on the right, people in the center agreed. I mean, of course, Canada's a white man's country. What do you think it is? That shows you just, in 106 years, how much things have changed. Up until when John F. Kennedy was president of the United States in 1961, 90% of the United States was white. It's now down to about 61%, all because of massive third world immigration. But which was organized. You know, this didn't just happen like a hurricane just happens or a snowstorm. This was organized. We have been utterly betrayed. That's what the cult of Calergy is about.
Yeah. This booklet, is this something that people can write to you, order, and obtain a copy of that?
Oh, I'd be very happy to sell them a copy. $7, that includes the postage. And yeah, you can buy, I'll give you the... just send it to send it to me personally, Paul Fromm, Box 332, Rexdale. That's Rexdale, Ontario. Postal code is M like mother, 9 W like William, 5 L like Larry, 3. So my name, PO Box 332, Rexdale, Ontario.
If anybody has trouble getting that, you can reach me, send me an email, eddie@bloodriverradio.com. That's eddie@bloodriverradio.com, and I can always message Paul, and we can get you a mechanism how you can order that book. We're going to have Jason's going to be on again next week, and we're going to highlight how we can attend, how you can get in touch with Jason and his group up there, the Knights, with the Knights, and how they're going to have a big Christian revival meeting in, was it April, Jason, or May?
Yeah, April 28th, 29th, 30th. It's Faith and Freedom Conference, and I can talk more about that next week.
Yeah, next week we'll cover that heavily. Well, guys, we're getting ready to go to a break any minute, and we've got to bring Nancy Hiddone and Gene Andrews. But I want to thank y'all so much. You did a great job, and I know I appreciate y'all working with Alfred. It got kind of crowded, I know that. We didn't engineer it that way, but I think it went pretty well. I think y'all did really well. You exercised decorum, and everybody got the questions. Everybody got their comments in. I think it's one I really enjoyed it myself, and it was a godsend having all three of you guys on. And who would think that during Dresden week, during Dresden month, that we'd have a fellow calling in who was at Dresden at the demonstrations there. That's amazing to me. That just I don't believe in coincidences. I think that was designed by God. But there's the music. We're getting ready to go into a break, and we're going to pick up Nancy Hitt and Gene Andrews. Thank you so much, Paul. Thank you so much, Jason. You guys stay in touch with me. I'll stay in touch with y'all. And Jason will be back on again next week. Paul, call me anytime. If you want to come on again sometimes, you have some hot news clip, get in touch with me. Well, people, hang on to your seats. Get you a cup of coffee. We're going to our first break, the third hour. We're going to bring on Nancy and Gene. Be right back.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Dear Blood River Radio audience, I hope you've been enjoying this program tonight. I'll just say it. That's probably the 15th time I've said it. We had no idea until last week when Sister Monica called. We already had the show planned. We didn't have Alfred Shaver penciled in, but Sister Monica called and said, "Hey, Alfred has been. He lives in Germany. Still living in Germany. He went to Dresden, Germany, to the protesting over there to in honoring." A memorial for the dead, the 500,000, 600,000, who knows, at least 500,000 people who were killed in Dresden. and he was arrested while he was over there. And we'll know, did we want to bring him on Blood River? Well, hell no. What's that got? We do not want him on. What's Alfred going to Dresden, Germany, getting arrested? What's that got to do with Dresden? But of course, I'm being facetious. But people, we're transitioning now. We've got my brother, Gene, the Bitter Ender, coming on. We've Nancy's typed in. Gene, say hello to the audience, and we'll get to our family, and we'll
get
to
Sister Nancy's. Well, good evening. How's everyone doing out there? Hope everybody's enjoying this Black Hysteria Month that we're having. So I thought I'd bring up why it should be Confederate History Month. But we'll go ahead and let Nancy get started, and then maybe next segment or the last segment, I can give everybody a little Confederate history in February.
Well, I'd once again like to apologize to people. I didn't mean to cram the show so full, but it was just, it happened, and I think it turned out really good. So go ahead, Sister Nancy. Tell us what we're going to be doing, what you and Gene are going to be doing. I'm just bringing y'all in and out of the breaks.
Well, these are just some, this is an outline of various topics that we might cover. And I want to go back to Black History Month. We can't forget Black History Month. Now, we gave some kudos to Cynthia McKinney, and I will have to give her another kudo. She's going to speak tomorrow at the anti-war demonstration in D.C. Now, there's been a lot of talk that there's a lot of unhappy people. There's a controversy about who's going to speak, who's going to be there. Apparently, probably they don't like the idea that Ron Paul, he must be close to 90. I think he's going to speak. But that's something that you might want to go back to this Pit Bulls and Masters with reference to Cynthia McKinney. But I'll give her a shout out for being at the anti-war protest tomorrow, Sunday, the 19th.
Wow.
Also, my Kentucky representative Thomas Massey has again brought up a bill to do away with the Department of Education. This should have been done eons ago. But even though it's been brought up repeatedly by Thomas Massey, it's always been shot down, and I doubt that it's going to pass the muster this time. But I have to give him a shout-out for this is another good thing that Thomas Massey of Kentucky has done. Another thing, I have picked up a book, actually, from my 500 in the basement. Originally, I was going to send it to my brother, thank you, because I know he loves Alexander Solzhenitsyn. But I picked up this book and decided I was going to read it, and I did give a quote last week from the book. It's called The Writings of Alexander Solzhenitsyn's World Communism, A Critical Review. Now, this book was written, his speeches were given in the 1975-78 era, but I did want to repeat, I did want to quote a couple paragraphs that I think are very applicable to what we're going through today. Another thing that we might want to bring up is this new bill that's been brought up by this black, I think she's a representative, Sheila Jackson Lee of Texas, outlawing white people for having opinions that are that exactly what we were talking about, trying to replace the white race. She wants to hold people accountable for their actions if they say something that would motivate any kind of violence about what she wants to call this a hate crime bill. If we talk about replacement and that whites are being eliminated or perhaps blacks are killing a lot of whites, then I received a card, which I could read, from the revisionist who's locked up in Edinburgh, from Vincent Reynaud, the Frenchman. Those are just a few things, and I'll leave it at that. Okay.
That's full, and also don't forget Harvard Magazine came out, and they're admitting it. They said that they will not rest, I'm paraphrasing, until they get rid of all whites. They want all whites dead, men and women, and they want to totally do away with their history. Go ahead, Gene.
Well, they're working on it. We get this Black Hysteria Month forced down our throat, and the local TV stations come on with some nonsense about Channel 2 celebrates Black History Month, and they give us some song and dance about some guy that invented the electric onion peeler, like that's the greatest invention that ever came down the road. And then, well, then they go right into the morning news, and we have a picture of Jamal that shot somebody over in North Nashville, and then Kawando that carjacked somebody on Lafayette Street. And then we have the police are looking for these two suspects, and they show you a picture of these two characters coming into this convenience store and robbing that. And the two characters, they don't give the names, but you look at them, and they definitely aren't in the White Knights of America or something like that. So, you know, we get Black History Month, and some made-up history story or some insignificant history, and then the next 10 or 15 minutes, at least in Nashville anyway, and Eddie, I'm sure it's probably this way in Memphis,
yes,
next 10 or 15 minutes is reporting all the black crimes that took place the night before. So yeah. Why are we supposed to be so excited about Black History Month? And
well,
Nancy was talking about the interracial crimes and hate crimes. This is according to FBI statistics, and I don't know how much you can trust the FBI, but anyway, maybe they get their statistics right. They can't get much else right. 95% of interracial crimes are black on white.
Sure.
And
sure.
Every time a white policeman shoots a black person or a white person defends himself against a black, it's headline news for days and days and days and days. But when blacks attack a white person and murder somebody, it's hardly ever reported. I mean, it's, you know, it's like it's just routine. You know, you live in the United States, you better get used to expecting that.
Well, you know, so anyway, locally, all we've been hearing on television locally is about these black policemen in Memphis. And it seems kind of odd. I mean, they're trying to pin this. Can a black man be a white supremacist? And anyway, back to another thing. I gave a talk today on a Confederate by the name of Captain William A. Faring. He has a lot of connections to this part of the world, but he was a European Confederate. And I think Eddie wanted me to speak briefly on that.
Go right ahead.
But
yes,
I mean,
that's interesting. I haven't heard of him.
Well, you won't. I don't think that was something I took by the up for the. I did the research on that. I don't think too many people know about him. Anyway, he came to. He was born in either Locarno, Switzerland, I've got my report right here, I just gave it today, or Milan, Italy. And I found out about this man. He had an Italian name, Farini, Guillermo Antonio Farini. His name was anglicized to William Antonio Faring. And he was originally going to study for the priesthood, but he ended up in this area. And I don't really know what the connection was, but he went to the medical college here in Louisville, got a degree, and married a local woman by the name of Sarah Elizabeth Galbraith. So when I was giving the talk, south of Louisville, and so there was a lot of connections that appealed to these people I was talking to, because this man, he ended up having a great-granddaughter who attended this genealogical society down in Bullitt County. So they were kind of interested, maybe more so than most topics would have been of interest. Anyway, what happened is Dr. Faring probably owned a couple hundred acres of land in a little place called Barfield, Arkansas. And I decided in 2012, when I heard about that there was a Confederate, a European Confederate, that had been in this area, I decided to search him down. It took quite a bit of time to do it. But this man operated a store, and he was also a doctor in Barfield. Now, today, Barfield is really hardly, it doesn't exist. It was right on the Mississippi, and today it's owned by his property is owned by Nucor Japanese Steel Company. On an American date of significance, July the 4th of 1861, William Antonio Faring volunteered for the Confederate military service. He was 38 years old, a family man with six children, a medical doctor, and foreign-born. To make a long story short, he was wounded at Shiloh, and that actually haunted him for the rest of his life. He ended up one of the Immortal 600.
Nancy, we have to go to a break.
Do you know who that is, Immortal 600?
No, we don't. You tell us as soon as we come back from this break, Nancy. Be right back, folks. All right, just quick commercial break.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA News, I'm Dave Collins. Former President of the United States, Jimmy Carter, and 98, the oldest living former president, has chosen to spend his final days at home in Plains, Georgia, in hospice care after a series of brief hospital stays. Last summer, the former commander-in-chief announced that he had melanoma that had spread to his liver and brain. Carter resided at the White House from 1977 to 1981. Five former Memphis police officers charged in the death of Tyre Nichols are pleading not guilty.
One by one, through their attorneys, the defendants entered their pleas.
Not guilty.
Nichols' mother, Ravon Wells, who attended the court proceeding, spoke afterward.
I feel very numb right now.
Wells said she will be in court every step of the way because
I want each and every one of those police officers to be able to look me in the face.
The judge said the defendants are entitled to a fair trial and asked for patience as the cases proceed. I'm John Schaefer.
Federal prosecutors say the 28-year-old man accused of shooting two Orthodox Jewish men in Los Angeles is confessing to the crime. Jamie Tran was charged with committing hate crime acts. Investigators say the former Riverside resident searched the internet to find Jewish targets before committing the shooting. Both victims wore traditional clothing and are expected to survive. Two SpaceX launches were just 9 hours apart.
They pulled off two successful attempts within 9 hours. A Falcon 9 rocket launched a satellite into space under the stars from Cape Canaveral, carrying
three,
a satellite for a
two,
British communications
one.
Company.
Engines full power and liftoff.
Earlier in the day, SpaceX launched another payload carrying more than 50 Starlink satellites into orbit from Vandenberg Space Force Base. There are more than 3,200 of these small satellites currently in low Earth orbit.
That's Jeremy Scott reporting. This is USA News.
Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call. Because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at crazy low prices. They have access to great prices and discounts at over 500 different airlines. Plus 300,000 hotels and rental car companies. Their prices are too low to publish online. With extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find the best price for you. Call SmartFares today and get ready to see the world with a fat wallet.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. That's 800-871-3291.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Dear Blood Group Radio family, we're going to go right back. We're going right back to my sister Nancy, big sister Nancy, and carry on. Carry on, Nancy. I don't want to take up any more of your time.
Well, I'll make it quite brief. Anyway, you know, this would take a little while to tell this entire story. But what I'm getting at is Captain Farring was arrested at home. He'd been wounded at Shiloh, and at Shiloh he was promoted to captain. But the following day he was wounded in the leg. And of course, the Union forces didn't give him a reprieve. They captured him at home trying to recover from his injury. He was sent to various POW camps, including Johnson's Island. He had to be in great pain due to his unhealed wound. But what happened is they sent him, along with 600 Confederate officers, to Charleston Harbor in 1864. And these were men who were to become members of the Immortal 600. The Immortal 600 was a name given to the Confederate officers who were caged in front of Yankee artillery batteries to receive incoming Confederate attacks. This was done on purpose. It was an act of they considered it an act of revenge. I think there's more to it, but this is what happened. These men were forever known as members of the Immortal 600. So anyway, when he was because of his wound, he was actually paroled out of Charleston, and in 1866 and 1868, he became the county clerk of the county where he was living in Osceola, Arkansas. Well, that was where the county. There were, oddly enough, there were two courthouses in this particular county, Osceola and Blytheville. At any rate, he had his leg amputated, and Captain Farring didn't live a long life. He died at the age of 49 in 1872, leaving behind seven children and a widow. One of the connections was that his widow did return to this area, probably to her father's home, and his two youngest children are buried here in this area at the cemetery, actually where my parents are buried. His youngest child was named John Marmaduke Farring, after one of his commanding officers. And I spent a lot of time contacting people in Arkansas, because, I never got to Arkansas, contacting people to try to get help. I copied material from the Mississippi County offices. Now, Mississippi County is a county in Arkansas. Funeral homes, historical associations, I called the Cobb Funeral Home. I called the county courthouses. I asked about burials, death certificates, land deeds, et cetera, et cetera. And the people that I was working with the Mississippi Historical Society, they also attempted to find where Captain Farring had been originally buried. Nothing seemed to, we just never could come up with any answer except that his property had been flooded so repeatedly, being right on the Mississippi, that he was probably buried on the property there on his farm, and his marker was probably swept into the Mississippi River. Anyway, to make a long story short, I did all of the paperwork that was necessary to get a free VA marker, because I did have the name, and I actually knew a descendant of Captain Farring. They lived actually relatively close to me. I sent all of the necessary material to the Maple Grove Cemetery in Arkansas. They forwarded on to the VA, and they told me in October of 2013 that they didn't have sufficient information, even though I had the military records, genealogical records, and information about the town of Barfield. They wanted me to come up with a printed copy of the obituary from 1872. Now, that would have been in that rural area, right after the War of Southern Independence. There would have been hardly any way to come up. And if I had had that in 2012, I wouldn't have had to have gone to make all of these steps to try to find out where Captain Farring ended up being buried. Well, I asked them to prove to me in a letter that they required this document of a written obituary. As of today, now this was in 2013, I still haven't heard from the VA. So anyway,
I can't believe you did that, Nancy. Nancy, you're the only person on earth I know that would do, I don't know of anybody else in the world that would have that much interest in to do something that kind-hearted. I mean, I'm just at a loss for words. I salute you.
That is the tip of the iceberg. I could tell you plenty of war stories about other people I've marked. Anyway,
that's incredible.
Because I couldn't get the VA to help me, and they supplied free. I had every document. I had everything I needed. But they always come up. They've been coming up with a lot of these problems in the past. Now they want a descendant. I had a descendant. But most people who are going to try to replace a VA marker, they're not going to have a descendant. They're just going to be hoping that they can get a VA marker to mark a damaged stone or something. Anyway, to make a long story short, since I was in contact with the great-granddaughter and her sister, I asked them could, I knew that Captain Fearing had relatives in Blytheville at that Maple Grove Cemetery. So they were, people there were in agreement to allow me to install a privately purchased marker, and that is what we did, and we put on the marker that he was a member of the Immortal 600, which is something very significant. And, of course, I always want to do research on these wonderful Europeans who stepped up and fought in our war. So that's kind
amazing.
Of the way it worked out.
That's amazing. Gene, is that amazing for Sister Nancy?
To do that much research, that is a tremendous amount of effort, and we have to salute Nancy for her efforts and the time and everything and money that she spent down through the years with all the Confederate research that she's done. And, you know, talking about Europeans that came over here and helped us fight for our independence, we hear a lot about it in our first war for independence. We hear very little about it in our second war for independence in 1861 to 65. But probably the most famous was an Irishman, Patrick Claiborne, who was born in County Cork, Ireland, and came over here with his brother and sister. And they settled in Cincinnati, and he settled in Helena, Arkansas. And then when the war came along, he said that he looked at our war for independence very much like the Irish fighting for their independence against the British. Mm-hmm. And he joined the Confederate Army, and he'd had experience in the British Army, so he knew how to train troops, and he knew how to treat them like humans and not beat them down like the British Army did. And his soldiers loved him. They would do anything for him, and he rose up through the ranks to Major General. And probably the along with Bedford Forrest, they were the two greatest officers in the Western theater of the war. And had either one of them been put in charge of the army, the outcome of the war west of the Appalachian Mountain would have probably turned out differently, which may have influenced the course of the whole war. But then, of course, General Claiborne was killed at the Battle of Franklin. And
That's a heartbreaking story, too, because five other Confederate generals fell that day, too.
Yes, they did. They led from the front. And we have markers there at Winstead Hill that's owned by the Sons of Confederate to the five brigadier generals, and then another marker for Major General Patrick Claiborne there on the hill. And Skip Earle was a person that put up the money for a lot of that. And he has a great write-up on each one of those markers about where they came from and their history in the Army and how they were promoted to brigadier general and then what happened to them there at Franklin. So if you're ever in the Franklin area, Middle Tennessee, it's well worth your time to stop by Winstead Hill, which is 2 miles south of Franklin on the Columbia Pike, and that was General John Bell Hood's observation post during the Battle of Franklin, which he didn't observe much because most of the battle was fought in the dark. But it's now owned by the Sam Davis Camp, Sons of Confederate Veterans, and we maintain it. There are actually 14 markers on that hill, not only to the individuals, but to the states that had troops at the Battle of Franklin, and Missouri and Mississippi, Tennessee, and
so forth.
There's
a lot of, negativity regarding my Kentucky John Bell Hood, and yes, much of it may be deserved, but I have to say this. John Bell Hood was wounded in the arm at Gettysburg, had his leg amputated and buried at Chickamauga, and went on to lead the Army of the Tennessee, probably in a buggy in great pain. So I know that he made a mistake in Franklin, but he was also a hero in his own way.
Oh, yes. Yeah, he was. Yeah, that's hard to believe. He had his arm shattered by a fragment from an artillery shell near the Round Tops there at Gettysburg. That's in July. So his left arm was pretty much useless the rest of his life. And then in September, when two of Longstreet's divisions were brought down to help the Confederates defeat the Yankees at Chickamauga, a bullet shattered his leg, and that was amputated. So when he did ride on horseback, he had to be strapped into the saddle.
And, you know, they say that his amputation was the most extensive one that anybody had ever survived, because up in the hip.
Yeah. Right. And they said about 80% of the people died from that.
Y'all, we got to go right back to that as soon as we get through this break. I can't believe this is going to be the last break. Be right back, folks.
Do you you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I know you hear me say it every week. It seems like we need, I know Sister Nancy doesn't want to do it, but I think we need to go to 5 hours. But anyway, go ahead. Sister Nancy, she has this precious letter that she's going to read. Go ahead, Sister Nancy, read that letter you're telling me
now,
and Jean about during the break.
You do know who this is, don't you, Eddie? Vincent Renault, the Frenchman that's been imprisoned in Edinburgh.
Tell us all about it.
Well, he's a Frenchman who's written several books about the so-called Holocaust, and you know the Jews in France have got him tracked him down and living in Edinburgh, and he's in prison in Edinburgh. I guess he'll be sent back to France to be tried for whatever they call it, hate crimes, I guess. But anyway, I know that Monica will definitely know who this is. Maybe she writes to him, but I wrote him a letter. You know, he's French, and I was not sure that he was going to be able to respond anyway, but I just did it to encourage him in his prison cell. And he writes, "Dear Nancy, thank you very much for your card. It's very kind of you. I drew for you this little picture." And he drew a cute little picture of a sunrise, said, "Happy New Year 2023. Here, all is okay. The prison at Edinburgh is a 5-star hostel. When you compare it to a French prison, I read, I write articles, I meditate, and I draw. My last revisionist book is now published, so I think that I am on holidays for a few months. Why not? It's good. Shall I be extradited to France? ? Never mind. I can't do a thing about it, so I don't care. Carpe diem. It's the way I live now. All the best, Vincent." And I had to look up Carpe Diem. Carpe Diem is just...
Seize the day.
That's right. That's exactly what it is. So that's what he's doing. He's seizing the day in prison.
Yeah.
That ought to give us some encouragement.
By coincidence, I wrote a note to Ernst Sundell and sent it to Germany when they had him in prison over there. Got a very, very nice note back from him thanking thanking him for, or thanking me for sending him something. And he was quite an artist. And I've got a drawing that he sent me posted on the bookcase right over my desk there. I see it every day. And his
signature
on that.
He sent me about half a dozen, and one of them I recently just I framed it. It was the last one I had, and I sent it on to Monica. I think she's happy to have it because I'm getting too long in the tooth, and I have nobody really to give these things to. But I had a bunch of them I sent to Gunter in Germany, and of course he's passed away, I think, several months ago. But yeah, and Ernst was a really terrific artist. No doubt, really was.
Oh, really, really, really talented. Very good. And, you know, the whole thing about this, and I know we're kind of getting off where we started, but it amazes me that this whole hoax business, that people take it seriously when you throw people in jail for just presenting an alternative piece of information, facts. And these people that they call whole hoax deniers are not saying go out and attack the Jews or burn down synagogues or anything of the sort. They're just saying, wait a minute, this doesn't jive out. I mean, here's the information. Here was the information in the 1940s, and this 6 million didn't pop up till 1972. Where are you getting your information from? And for that, you get thrown in the slammer. And they're trying to pass a law here, run it through our Congress, to do the same thing here in this country. It's bad enough in Germany and France and Europe, but now they're trying to get that over here. That, to me, that's a total denial of our First Amendment rights. And if you have to arrest somebody, and Monica said this over and over again in her book, and once again, I want to plug Monica's book. I'm sorry, Mom, about I apologize about the Holocaust. And she said that over and over again. The truth stands on its own, but lies mm-hmm. have to be backed up with you know, arresting people and mm-hmm. prison to mm-hmm. threaten people not to question a lie that the government is trying to foist off on us. So anyway, it's ridiculous, and the censorship that we have now in this country and the tech censorship that they're imposing on us, and they deny they do it, but of course they do. So they pull the plug on anybody that's conservative or doesn't agree with the establishment's theory of history and everything. And here's the other argument that they always throw out. Well, they can say the Holocaust happened, and they can persecute people that question the numbers or anything about it because everybody knows it's fact. And I say, well, that's not a very good argument, because at one time everybody knew that the earth was flat. And people that questioned whether the earth was flat or not were considered to be heretics. Mm-hmm. And they were imprisoned or even tortured and killed to question the theory that everybody knew the earth was flat. And then at one time, everybody knew that women were witches, or certain women were witches, and they were burned at the stake in Europe. And you know, the great liberal, forward-thinking colony of Massachusetts hung women that were accused of being witches. And, of course, we don't have witches today, but, well, now, wait a minute, that's not a good analogy. We've got Nancy Pelosi, we've got Kamala Harris. That was a bad analogy. We do have witches today. Okay, all right, forget that one. Go back to the flat earth thing again. And, yeah, okay.
Be careful what you say.
I know. I've used a bad analogy there. There are witches. You know, every time I see Pelosi, I expect her to go, I'll get you and your little dog, too. But anyway.
Well, I'd just like to tell our family out there, Blood River Radio, I know they're as proud of you two people as I am. You know, we have a lawyer, I won't say which state, but we have a well-known lawyer, friend of ours, and he says that Gene, now he's including Nancy, Gene and Nancy are national treasures, and I'll second that. I mean, I'm just total awe of everything y'all know. I really am. And in your spirit, your ardor, you know, did you never give up? You know, Nancy, you said something earlier about this, which I think is really interesting to me, is this anti-war demonstration in Washington, D.C. I wish the hell I could get a plane ticket up there and cover that thing, but that's totally out of the question. The Blood River Radio.
It's not just war in general, but it's against the war, our involvement in the war in Ukraine. Is that right?
That's my understanding, and there's a lot of controversy about the people who are going to attend. These liberals don't want to be seen with these MAGA people, and so anyway, that's but yeah, it's going to be, and I bet you it's going to get limited coverage, even if there were 5 million people there.
Oh yeah, yeah. And if anybody walks within 100 yards of the Capitol, they'll say they were trying to storm the Capitol, you know. And it was,
yep.
Well, you know, there's. I think I've mentioned this. Maybe I mentioned it on the radio. Maybe it was just went on a break. That there's censorship of the pipeline, which I was furious about last week, and Victoria Nuland is over telling the people that the Russians have committed war crimes. Well, my goodness, she ought to be hung as a traitor. That's my opinion. She was responsible, very much responsible for the 2014. Takeover of the Ukrainian government in 2014, and now she's responsible, certainly partly responsible, for this destruction of these pipelines.
Yeah.
And it's just a Jew operation, totally.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what they do. They destroy a country from the inside. They're fifth columnists, and that's been down through history. And I always say, follow the money trail. Where does the money trail lead back to? People that are paying for it, like George Soros, whose real name is Schwartz. And all the elections he's rigged in this country and paid for all these district attorneys that are turning all these criminals loose to prey on us out in the streets. And it's, you know, he's got a guarded compound. It doesn't matter to him how many normal people are murdered in their hometown right out on the street, that nobody's going to bother him. But
you know, somebody said a friend of mine sends me Twitter. Various things where these blacks are attacking whites or shooting shop owners, and the question was, what can be done? My answer is this: the return to segregation is our only hope. There is no way these people with low IQs and violent behavior can be trusted with children to begin with, to be even in classrooms and beating up teachers and attacking en masse young people. It's just, that is the only answer, is a return to segregation. That's only answer. Now, we would like to break away, but with the fifth column of blacks, how are we going to do that?
Yeah, that would be, you know, I know Dr. Hill and the League of the South and a lot of us hope that the South would get off the sinking ship before it goes down and takes us down with it. But you've got so many transplanted carpetbaggers and mm-hmm. so many blacks. How would you ever have a country that would return to normalcy with that many degenerates and, fifth columnists? You know, that's why the blacks were hated after the Civil War. It wasn't the fact that they were black. It's because they were collaborators with the enemy. They jumped in there with the Reconstruction government. And they thought, you know, they were all going to get 40 acres and a mule and what was the thing they were saying, the bottom rail on top now? Well, it didn't last when the Yankee pulled out of the South.
Well, now it works out now. Now I guess they are the top rail. But, you know, back to Alfred, I want to say this, and because we're getting ready to go off, I guess. But, you know, I think Alfred said, and Monica have said the same things, we cannot be afraid. We have got to stand up like Alfred and Monica have done. They are a great example for white people today. They're a great example of coward, of lack of fear. They're both of them making a statement, and I hope our people listen to them. It's difficult.
You have to do that. So many whites have just been browbeaten that they don't want to be called racist, and they can get fired, they can lose their job, they can be, what they call it, doxing somebody, to have all these thugs and criminals out on their street, out in front of their house, threatening them and their wife and children. So the left knows how to operate, and they know how to intimidate people. But you're right, we definitely need to make a stand and stand up for our history and our heritage and our livelihood, basically, just be able to exist in this country. It's going to be an uphill battle. I'll guarantee that, because politicians are definitely not on our side. Maybe 1 out of 100, you know. But the majority of them just grovel and whine and carry on and will kiss any rear end that's stuck in front of them for a vote. And so you can't trust your local representatives to do much to help you out. And that's pretty pitiful.
Guys, I hear the music. Thank God that Nancy and Gene both will be able to come on next week. We have Fred Reutcher coming on next week. He's the only guest. See, and Jason Robb will come on. Fred and Jason, the first hour, I guess. And Nancy and Gene will be coming on for at least an hour and a half, God willing. Well, people, think about the crimes against humanity. The Russians, they say the Russians are committing crimes against humanity. I wonder if they meant Nagasaki, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. But anyway, people, we're going to follow that demonstration in Washington, D.C. next week. Hopefully, we'll have something to say about that. But anyway, people, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you, Gene. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Alfred and Jason and Paul. And thank you, Miss Lizzie, for running a flawless boys' night. Good night, everybody.